are listening to The Life of Jesus Christ in a Year from the Visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich from Tann. I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I will be reading and offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the four-volume hardcover set of The Life of Jesus Christ and Biblical Revelations available from Tann. Before we get to today's reading, though, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you were blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings. We graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins and be drawn more completely into spiritual communion with Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We ask this in the name of the Most Holy Lamb of God, through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day number 238, and in this episode, we will continue reading from Volume 3. We will pick up where we left off last, in number 8, Jesus in the Temple of the Kings, the Feast of the Apparition of the Star. Before the priest began his instruction, the woman, attended by many others, went in front of the dragon, cast herself down, and kissed the earth. She performed the action with marked enthusiasm and devotion. At this moment, Jesus stepped into the middle of the circle and asked why she did that. She answered that the dragon awoke her every morning before day when she arose, turned toward the quarter in which the image stood, prostrated before her couch and adored it. Jesus next asked, "Why dost thou cast thyself before Satan? Thy faith has been taken possession of by Satan. It is true indeed that thou wilt be awakened, but not by Satan. It is an angel that will awake thee. Behold, whom thou adorest." The same moment there stood by the woman and in sight of all present a spirit in the form of a figure, lank and reddish, with a sharp, hideous countenance. The woman shrank back in fright. Jesus, pointing to the spirit, said, "This is he that has been accustomed to awake thee. But every human being has also a good angel. Prostrate before him and follow his advice." At these words of Jesus, all perceived a beautiful, luminous figure hovering near the woman. Trembling, she prostrated before him. So long as Satan stood beside the woman, the good angel remained behind her. But when he disappeared, the angel came forward. The woman, deeply affected, now returned to her place. She was called Cuppis. She was afterward baptized Serena by Thomas, under which name she was later on martyred and venerated as a saint. In his instruction to the youths and maidens who were assembled in the vicinity of the bird, Jesus warned them to observe due measure in their love of both human beings and the lower animals, for there were some among them that almost adored their parents, and others that showed more affection for animals than for their fellow man. On the last day of the festival, Jesus desired to deliver a discourse in the temple to the priests and kings and all the people, that the aged king Theocneno also might be among his hearers. Jesus went to him with Mensor and commanded him to rise and accompany him. He took him by the hand, and Theocneno, nothing doubting, rose up at once, able to walk. Jesus led him to the temple, and from that time forward, he retained the use of his limbs. Jesus ordered the doors of the pyramidal temple to be opened, that all the people outside could both see and hear him. He taught sometimes outside among the men and women, the youths, the maidens, and the children, relating to them many of the parables that he had formerly recounted to the Jews. His auditors were privileged to interrupt him in order to ask questions, for he had commanded them to do so. Sometimes also He called upon a certain one to say aloud before all the others the doubts that troubled him, for he knew the thoughts of everyone. Among the questions they asked was this: why he raised no dead to life, cured no sick, as the king of the Jews had done. Jesus answered that he did not perform such miracles among pagans, but that he would send some men who would work many wonders among them, and that through the bath of baptism they should become clean. They should, he said, until that time take his words on faith. Jesus then gave an instruction to the priests and kings alone. He told them that whatever in their doctrine bore an appearance of truth was a mere lie. It had only the semblance, the empty form of truth, and the demon himself gave it that form. As soon as the good angel withdraws, Satan steps forward, corrupts worship, and takes it under his own guardianship. Heretofore, Jesus continued, they had honored all those objects to which they could attach some idea of strength, and of that worship they had omitted many things after their return from Bethlehem. Now, however, he told them they should do away with those figures of animals, should melt them down, and he indicated to them the people to whom their value should be given. All their worship, all their knowledge, he said, valued nothing. They should inculcate love and mercy without the aid of those images and thank the Father in heaven that he had so mercifully called them to the knowledge of himself. Jesus promised them that he would send him who would more fully instruct them, and he directed them to remove the wheel with its starry representations. It was as large as a carriage wheel of moderate size and had 7 concentric rims on the uppermost, and the lowest of which were fastened globes from which streamed rays. The central point consisted of a larger globe, which represented the earth. On the circumference of the wheel were 12 stars, in which were as many different pictures, splendid and glittering. I saw among them one of a virgin with rays of light flashing from her eyes and playing around her mouth, while on her forehead sparkled precious stones, and another of an animal with something in its mouth that emitted sparks. But I could not see all distinctly, because the wheel was constantly revolving. The figures were not all visible at the same time, for at intervals, some were hidden. Jesus desired to leave them some bread and wine blessed by himself. The priests had, in obedience to his directions, prepared some very fine white bread, like little cakes, and a small jug of some kind of red liqueur. Jesus specified the shape of the vessel in which all was to be preserved. It was like a large mortar. It had 2 ears, a cover with a knob, and was divided into 2 compartments. The bread was deposited in the upper one and in the lower one, in which there was a small door. The little jug of liquor was placed. The outside shone like quicksilver, but the inside was yellow. Jesus placed the bread and the wine on the little altar, prayed and blessed, while the priests and the 2 kings knelt before him, their hands crossed on their breast. Jesus prayed over them, laid his hands on their shoulders, and instructed them how they should renew the bread, which he cut for them crosswise, giving them the words and the ceremony of benediction. This bread and wine would be for them a symbol of Holy Communion. The kings had some knowledge of Melchizedek, and they questioned Jesus concerning this sacrifice. Then he blessed the bread for them. He gave them some idea of his passion and of the Last Supper. They should, he told them, make use of the bread and wine for the first time on the anniversary of their adoration at the crib, and after that 3 times in the year, or every 3 months. I cannot recall it exactly. Next day, Jesus again taught in the temple, wherein all were gathered. He went in and out, leaving one crowd to go to another. He allowed the women and children also to come and speak to him, and he instructed the mothers how to rear their children and teach them to pray. This was the first time that I saw many children gathered together here. The boys wore only a short tunic, and all the little girls mantles. The children of the converted lady were present. She was a person of distinction, and her spouse, a tall man, was near King Mensor. She had fully 10 children with her. Jesus blessed them, laying his hand not on the head, as he did as the children of Judea, but on the shoulder. He instructed the people upon his mission and his approaching end, and told them that his journey into their country was unknown to the Jews. He had, he said, brought with him as companions youths that would take no scandal at what they saw and heard, and who were docile to all his words. The Jews would have taken his life, had he not made his escape. But apart from all that, he was desirous of visiting them because they had visited him, had believed in him, hoped in him, and loved him. He admonished them to thank God for not allowing them to be entirely blinded by idolatry and for giving them the true belief in himself and the grace to keep his commandments. If I do not mistake, he spoke to them also of the time of his return to his heavenly Father, when he would send to them his disciples. He told them, too, that he was going down into Egypt, where, as a child, he had been with his mother, for there were some people there who had known him in his childhood. He would, however, remain quite unknown, as there were Jews there who would willingly seize him and deliver him to his enemies. But his time was not yet come. The pagans could not understand the human foresight of Jesus. In their childlike simplicity, they mentally asked themselves, how could they do such things to him, since he is truly God? Jesus answered their thoughts by telling them that he was man, also that the Father had sent him to lead back all the scattered, that, as a man, he could suffer and be persecuted by men, when his hour would have come, and because he was a man, he could be thus intimate with them. He warned them again to renounce all kinds of idolatry and to love one another. In speaking of his own passion, he touched upon true compassion. They should, he said, desist from their excessive care of sick animals and turn their love toward their fellow beings, both as regards body and soul. And if there were in their neighborhood none that stood in need of assistance, they should seek at a distance for such as did and pray for all their destitute brethren. He told them also that what they did for the needy, they did for him. And he made them understand that they were not to treat the lower animals with cruelty. They had entire tents filled with sick animals of all kinds, which they even provided with little beds. They were especially fond of dogs, of which I saw many large ones with enormous heads. This concludes our reading today, and now we reflect on what we have just listened to, what we have just read. We hear about this woman in our reading today, and Jesus asks, why dost thou cast thyself down before Satan? Thy faith has been taken possession of by Satan. This woman, we learn by the end of that paragraph, will undergo a conversion in her life, that she will be baptized by Thomas, and that she would even become a saint. The Lord works in the lives of people. He exposes certain areas or false beliefs, and if we cooperate with his grace, he makes us a saint. He can do that for us, just as he did for this woman who became known as Serena. Jesus taught also all their worship, all their knowledge, he said, valued nothing. That's because they were worshiping a false god. But when they worship the true God, all their worship, all their knowledge will be everything. Because it is directed to the one who is the giver of all, the one who offers us all good things. The message of the gospel, the message of the Lord, continues to reach people who might be a bit like the individuals in our reading today. Slow to believe, pagans, whatever. We pray that they will be open to receiving the gospel and following the Lord. Well, this brings us to the close of today's reading. I hope that you'll join us again tomorrow as we continue making our way through the life of Jesus Christ and biblical revelation. please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emmerichpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. And if you don't mind, please share this podcast with others, share it on social media, email it to your prayer group, text a link to your friends. Let them know you're listening and encourage them to, so you can have holy conversations about what we're hearing and reading from Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until next time, may God bless you and Mary pray for you.